Chapter 13.
Even with her eyes closed, Abigail could feel the lion looming, the heat of his breath sending a ripple of dread through her body. The creature erupted with a thunderous roar that yanked all breath from her lungs and drove her to her knees. Then another angry roar, and she opened her eyes. The lion lurched to its left and retreated into the woods, dragging a javelin lodged in its side.
Abigail!
She had never been happier to hear Laith's voice. Just behind him stood Watson, Kalin, and Charles. Moments later, Adam arrived. The depth of joy in their happy reunion was so foreign to this empty land that the fruit trees themselves seemed to recoil.
"We saw you in the meadow," Charles said. "We were on the ridge above you, but we couldn't get to you in time to warn you about the lion."
Watson wrapped Abigail in a tight hug, his arms trembling.
"We thought you were dead," he whispered.
"Alexander must not have known about the caverns under the south end of the orchard," Adam explained. "He thought he had buried her alive." Watson let go of his sister and grabbed Adam's hand with both of his, then gave him a heartfelt hug. Laith put a hand on Adam's shoulder.
"From up here, looked like she spotted the lion before you did, buddy. You need to stay alert, or you'll be lion lunch."
"It was because of this," Abigail said, taking the book from her belt. "It's the prince's strategy book. It showed me exactly where to look."
"We'll need that," Charles said. "It'll take that and every weapon we have to make it out of the orchard."
He pointed to the sword on Adam's hip.
"Especially that one."
Adam unsheathed it and mimicked the strike that felled Alexander.
"It already saved me once today." His powerful arm still glowed purple.
"Show them the vial,"
Abigail said. When he removed it from his coat, she took it and held it up to Watson.
"Have you ever seen anything like this?"
Watson reached into his own pocket and produced an even larger vial, filled to the top with the empowering blue fluid.
"I've only seen mists of this before. How is this even possible?"
"I had a setback on the way here," Watson began. "A battle with temptation to which I regrettably succumbed. I thought I had lost, having consumed several berries. I learned, however, that the battle was not lost when I failed. Rather, the battlefield merely changed. It went from a struggle over whether I would eat fruit to a struggle over whether I would delay returning to the Father to confess and restore closeness with him. The moment I chose to return, the ruler appeared, and he taught us how to receive more of this," he held up the vial, "than we had ever imagined possible."
"It comes from closeness with the ruler," Kalin said, displaying her own vial. "Every time your heart draws near to him to enjoy his colors, he adds to the vial." "May I?"
Abigail asked, still holding Adam's vial.
"Take as much as you want."
She rubbed the fluid on both arms, handed the vial back, and pointed to the sword. He extended it, handle first, and she gripped it with both hands. When Adam let go, the weighty weapon slipped from her grasp and fell to the dirt. The group stood in silence. Laith stepped forward, took up the blade with one hand and returned it to Adam. Then he faced Abigail.
"When's the last time you had a decent meal?"
He turned to Charles.
"No one can fight when they're starving. Let's eat. We can worry about the sword later."
"Couldn't agree more," Charles said with a wink.
Laith and Watson encircled the fire pit with logs for seating, and within the hour, Adam and Charles had the meal ready. Stories, laughter, and words of encouragement crisscrossed the circle as the ravenous squad of rescuers enjoyed their first full meal together since Charles had arrived in the lowlands. Abigail closed her eyes and took in the sounds of family love. Everyone seemed to be so thoroughly enjoying the meal. She looked down at her plate.
"I should eat," she thought as she appraised the entree. "Why does this feel like such a chore?" With a push of resolve, she lifted a fried chicken leg to her mouth, nibbled, then set it down again, exhausted from the effort. Laith stared at her for a moment, then motioned to her plate with his cup.
That grub ain't gonna eat itself.
Do you taste anything? Adam asked.
A little.
She turned her gaze away from the circle. A barn swallow flitted from tree to tree. She mused over the wonder of the creation and the gentle care the Father took in providing for every creature every day. The swallow swooped down, plucked a worm from the ground, and carried it back to its nest. Abigail left the circle and inched as close as she could to the nest without scaring the bird. Several chicks, just hatched, stretched their necks, beaks wide open, desperate for a morsel. A gentle breeze brushed Abigail's face and whispered,
"Look at those chicks. If your heart were like that toward the ruler, you would have your smile back. The portion size is limited only by the stretch of your jaws."
"Time for dessert," Adam called.
Abigail made her way back to the group and took a seat next to Watson, who put his arm around her and pulled her close. Adam stood in the middle of the circle and began unfolding a tiny cottage piece that simply said, "Good sorrow, bad sorrow." "Good sorrow," he explained, "drives you to the Father. Bad sorrow makes you give up. If you listen to your feelings, you will destroy yourself. When you stumble, instead of listening to yourself, talk to yourself. But don't talk to yourself about your failure. Talk to the Father about your failure, and talk to yourself about the Father. Preach to your soul. Remind yourself constantly what He's like toward those who turn back to Him. Merciful, patient, gracious, tender, slow to anger, and overflowing in love. His anger remains for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. He restores what is broken, redeems the prisoners, and revives the dead." When he finished speaking, he sat beside Abigail and Watson.
"That was delicious," Abigail said. "Thank you."
Adam smiled and reached for his cup. Abigail lifted her arm and placed it next to Adam's, contrasting the blue on her skin with his purple.
"Good eye," said Charles. "The color changes when the fluid is activated."
"How is it activated?" she asked. "Is there some kind of catalyst?"
Charles smiled.
"The catalyst is the one thing that draws you nearer to the ruler than anything else. Trust. You're never closer to him than when you're trusting him. And when you trust, his blood activates the fluid. That's when the real power comes."
Charles stood and began collecting the empty plates.
"We'll talk more about it tomorrow. I suggest you don't stay up too late. We'll want to get an early start."
The first gleam of dawn found the camp clear and the six friends already making their way westward. Laith led the way, with Charles guarding the rear. Watson and Adam walked on either side of Abigail, who carried the sword.
Abigail stumbled, and Adam caught her. "You look tired," he said. She rubbed her eyes.
"I didn't sleep much. I had a nightmare that woke me up, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I just kept thinking about it all night."
"What was it about?"
"A rattlesnake dropped on me in a dark cave. I screamed and threw it away as hard as I could. Then a guardian appeared and said..."
Adam finished the sentence. "Remember the vigor with which you cast it. I had the same dream. It's to prepare you for the battle. When it comes time to use the sword, remember that dream. Remember how you felt. Unless you hate the enemy like you hated that snake, you will fall."
Abigail walked in silence, trying to imagine what the battle would be like. Who would she face? Would she hesitate in the decisive moment? And if so, would she remain locked in the orchard forever?
"Your skin," Adam said, touching Abigail's forearm.
She lifted her arm. A slight purple glow tinted her skin. A smile warmed her face. It's happening. She touched the sword. Maybe I will be ready to strike when the moment comes.